Hello.
I am so excited to talk to you. I don't get the chance to talk to many nomads. So, so many questions. Carly Soroki is the founder of Karma. I mean, what a great name. A brand incubator and base camp, which is appropriate when you find out how much she travels, for entrepreneurs and visionary companies committed to doing good. She and her creative team build, guide, and launch brands and the planet over profit. So tell me, are you working from your motorhome today?
How did you know?
I've been exploring your incredible website, which is karmadesign.is, and you have to explain to me why you've got is at the end of it. But so how's the motorhome? Where are you parked?
Right now we are parked outside Leavenworth, Washington, off in the woods. And it's beautiful. I'm looking out my window at backlit evergreens, and there's some snow on the mountains.
Carly does say she'd rather have wilderness and woods and wind in her hair than being stuck in an office. And it's that kind of creativity that means that she can work with creatives from all over the world to help you incubate your brand. So why is it karmadesign.is? And not .co or .whatever.
Yes. Well, of course, all of those were taken, but I will readily admit that we stole like an artist from an amazing typographer named Jessica Hish, whose website is jessicahish.is. And she had the creative, and maybe she stole it from someone too, idea to say Jessica Hish is, and then slash creating, and that would be one page of her site, and Jessica Hish is slash connecting, and that would be the contact page of her site. It also ended up being poignant because to purchase an is domain, it's actually the suffix for Iceland. So .us is US, .is is Iceland. And so we pay for our domain via Reykjavik, which our brand likes because we are a very Nordic inspired brand.
That sheer amount of genius. I didn't even click because on the pages you've got Karma Design is listening. Mm-hmm. Karma Design is conscious. Karma Design is empowering. What amazing affirmations, and what a great little creative secret that people can uncover.
Please steal it.
I agree. I think I will right now. I've got a great photo of you in a woolly hat and a coffee mug, which I'm guessing is your typical work wardrobe.
Yes, I'm wearing a similar thing right now.
And I was going to ask you, since I always drop in a clothing question somewhere, living in a motorhome, and I know you've given a great talk about less is more, ditching the maximalist mindset. Just how many clothes have you crammed into that motorhome?
Ha ha ha. Well, the secret is that I actually keep no clothes in the motorhome, Erin, because I keep all of my clothes in my car, which I use to get back and forth to town. And I actually have almost all of my clothes in two suitcases, and there they stay forever.
I love that. I often suggest to women that are working out where they want to go in their life to pack a suitcase for their ideal life. And that really helps clarify exactly what to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So would you tell me a bit more about Karma Design? Who do you want to work with?
Oh, that's a great question. Thank you. We would love to connect with for-profit businesses for good who are making an impact. Not that we have anything against nonprofits. Established nonprofits, you're welcome to call as well. But over the last few years, I have discovered the world of business for good and have noticed so much happening in terms of movement toward the big picture goals that we have for people and planet happening in the world, in the economy, in consumers having buying power. And so the world of businesses who have demonstrated that commitment, such as B Corps, who are members of 1% for the Planet, or any organization that has obtained a climate neutral certification, those are the ones that we would love to work with because it shows that they're established, that they have funding, that they have momentum, but they may need help building, guiding, or launching their brand.
Now, with your process, you serve as a creator and a caretaker, which is a great combination. And why to solve a problem? Why do you need to know the full context?
The full context of working with a client?
Yes, I realize it's a bit of a big question, but I believe you go deep. And why is it important to go deep?
Well, it's kind of necessary in this world of business for good because these brands often are started by entrepreneurs who had no intention to be where they are today. A lot of the most successful brands were accidents started by people who were simply so passionate about what they were doing or saw a problem that needed to be fixed that they fixed it. And then people loved their solution and all of a sudden they're a billionaire. So we end up talking to a lot of founders who share their story with us. And there's many other, you know, great podcasts out there. How I Built This is another good one that talk about these incubation stories and the whole journey and the exit and things like that. But when you're that close with a client, you hear what it was like for them to have their blood, sweat, and tears put into building the company to the point where it was self-sustaining and beyond.
And you establish great teams. And I'm guessing these teams tend to be handpicked depending on who you work with.
Definitely.
And I believe, you know, combined experience, the people that you bring to the table, experience at Starbucks, Microsoft, Amazon, Nordstrom, you had me at Nordstrom. And I believe you're open to meeting more creatives who might want to collaborate with you.
Absolutely, please.
And the best way to do that is to jump on the Connect page and to send an email to Karma, and they will grab coffee with you, virtual coffee, because she's probably going to be parked outside some woods somewhere. She's not doing that. Can you tell me about living off-grid in the Yukon?
Absolutely. So for those who don't know, the Yukon Territory is actually north of British Columbia. So it has Alaska on one side and BC on the other, and I forget what's on the other side, but it is way, 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 way up there. And I discovered it by accident driving back from Alaska once. And essentially, it's like where I am now in Washington State, but with, you know, 9 people per square mile. I'm exaggerating, but maybe not. It's just completely empty. And yet the Yukon Territory has the highest density of artists per capita of any Canadian province or territory, because this self-reliance that you have to develop living off-grid, and off-grid meaning you're not connected to city water, power, things like that. You have to chop your own trees, feed a wood stove, haul water from a well or from a river or somewhere like that. It creates this self-reliance, but also interdependence on each other. And so there are just these communities that grow up that kindle each other and create amazing art and ideas and stories because of having to cuddle around that fire together and having to help each other out of the ditch and survive in the snow. And it just, there's something about it, something about that, like I said, Nordic story that draws me again and again and again.
So you're not only a base camp, but I'm obviously thinking wilderness camps, taking founders up to the Yukon.
I like it. Hot springs.
You can also take our founders virtually on a walk. You've been on I think it was a 500-mile walk over the Camino de Santiago.
Correct.
And knowing you, you're probably helping founders every step of the way. What was that experience like? I'm assuming you had internet when you were off-grid, or that might have made it a little awkward. But when you're on the Camino de Santiago, what a great way to fuel your creative passion and to bring that creative passion to your clients. But how was that walk?
It was fantastic. I recommend it to anyone. I believe the youngest and oldest range who's done that walk is something from like 5 years old to 85 years old. It's really not too technical, which is what attracted me about it. You don't have to set up a tent or cook your own food on a stove. You stay in hostels every night. But that's actually the beauty of it, is it's a spiritual trail. So it was established as a pilgrimage for people to go to Santiago, the relic of St. James. And yet today it's interpreted as any kind of spiritual journey. You can walk the trail to explore that for yourself. And I was attracted to it because I didn't have a reason for going, but I found my reason on the trail. And that's usually what happens for people.
Oh, it sounds magical. I aspire to be a digital nomad, and it will happen. So loving to hear about this. And Carly has a great, if you jump on her LinkedIn page, connect with her on LinkedIn, her last name is spelled S-I-R-O-K-Y. There's a fabulous bit of information, Living the Dream, an RV mobile office, where she talks about her 1988 motorhome. Would you tell me a little bit about the project Lucia, the Lucia journal that you've been involved with?
Sure, sure. Lucia, I love that. Lucia would be Italian. Lucia is another way to say it. But Lucia Journal is an independent women's magazine based in Seattle that was founded by my friend and colleague, Laura Lowry. And you can head over there, luciajournal.com, and explore. But it's a print magazine and a digital space. And it's for women giving voice to the heart and celebrating true beauty. And Laura contacted me wanting to start the magazine and described what she was going to attend. Please, please, please. And so I've been a design advisor for 5 or 6 years now, I think.
What's the best way for people to get Lucia?
Lucia, yeah. Mm-hmm. LuciaJournal.com. You can go there and view the past issues and read some of the stories online.
Thank you. I'm sorry I mispronounced. My niece is called Lucia, so...
Any way you want. No, it's okay, because Lucia, the same lumen as the root, it means light, and so it really doesn't matter how you pronounce it, but that's how we discovered the name for the magazine, is because we were searching for something that represented light and light in each of us.
Women are the answer. I believe women are the answer to everything. Mm-hmm. So illuminating women is definitely a wonderful mission to have and part of mine. Speaking of mission, under services, I need you to explain some of your services to me. They're words I'm not so familiar with. But you do help people create their mission with brand strategy. You can help people create their mission and their vision. And you had me at vision, because I am all about vision. I believe your vision is the rudder of your life. And it helps prevent decision fatigue. And you know you're taking the right action if you're moving towards your vision. Mm-hmm. So, but you also help with marketing personas. Now, that sounds like fun. I'm picturing paper dolls. I'm picturing of portraits. What's a marketing persona?
Sure. A marketing persona is a fictitious individual who represents a target audience for your brand. And typically, a brand will have numerous target audiences. So I will use, for example, a structural engineering company, because we're currently supporting our client Element in San Francisco. And they have numerous marketing personas, including the architect, the developer, the contractor, the prospective engineer, the community member, et cetera. And so we created a person for to represent each of these groups, and gave them a name and gave them a photo, talked a bit about their life, talked a bit about their challenges, what other brands are they attracted to, how can we help them, what are they looking for. And it's something that you proverbially pin to your cubicle wall to remind yourself when you're working on a project who you're making it for, because it's actually very rare that you are the audience for the product or service that you're branding. So you always, always, always have to put yourself in their shoes.
Another great way to think of it is you're writing a character in a story.
Sure.
Do a character bio, who they are, where they go, what they like, what coffee they drink. It's really helpful to have that person firmly in your mind. That's a great explanation. Now, this is fun. Carly, with all her brand strategies, so many great things there, from target demographics through to brand identity. But business naming, I'm often talking to clients about their website and saying, I love the name of your website, but it's not always immediately clear what it is that you do from your business name. What's something that's important to keep in mind when you're naming your business?
Succinct, for sure. Something that is memorable. There are lots of different techniques for naming. Sometimes you can co-opt an existing word, like Google, or you can change one letter of an existing word, like Spanx, with an X at the end, or you can make up a totally new word, or you can name it after a person or a place. There's lots of different ways to go, and it actually, again, depends on your audience. But I also believe that you can have a terrible name and a wonderfully successful brand. You can also have a fantastic name and a totally awful product. So it can go both ways.
That is so true. I'm looking to rename my podcast at the moment. So I might have to get your expertise on that. Brainstorming is so much fun, isn't it?
Definitely.
Carly also offers, with her team, her handpicked team, which will be specially chosen for your particular situation, content strategy and visual design. And that includes creating a brand voice. When we write fiction, it's very important that every single character has a very unique and distinct voice. You should be able to tell from a character's dialogue exactly who they are without necessarily needing tags. Why is it important to have a separate and unique brand voice?
Brand voice is yet another extension of how your target audience interprets your unique offering. And every brand has, you've probably heard the word look or the phrase look and feel. Branding is another word for look and feel, but it's more than that. The feel is even involved with auditory or when you're reading written words. What does the personality of that brand sound like in terms of the words they use, in terms of the sentence structure? Are they very formal and rigid? Do they do complete, you know, perfectly grammar sentences? That was even not a perfectly grammar sentence right there. Or are they more casual and do they have little snippets of conversation? Are you talking to, you know, teenagers who abbreviate everything? That's literally brand voice, is when you go and even there's a pop-up box that says, I'm sorry, that page can't be found. If it's very, I'm sorry, that page can't be found. That's a pretty, you know, conservative, traditional brand voice. But if it pops up and it says, yikes, our bad, we're going to help you, you know, that's a different kind of brand. So along with brand archetypes, which is something else that we do, brand voice is essential before you start to launch your brand to the world, or if you're revisiting your brand and want to hone that a bit, to make sure that it feels synonymous with everything else, the colors, the fonts, the photos, it all feels like an individual. And would, you know, Erin use this word in her regular speech? If she wouldn't, then it feels off when you use that word, right? So you want to make sure that it's uniform.
That's, yeah, congruence. So you don't get cognitive dissonance. Absolutely. And Karma will also take you through customer journey mapping, creating your editorial calendars, which are a headache for a lot of businesses, syndication tools, content generation, all the way down to your newsletters and your blogs, which of course is all led by the brand voice. Visual design, would you explain to us what you mean by business collateral?
Sure. So your collateral is any kind of print or sometimes digital material that creates a suite of materials with which you can connect with your customers. So the most basic being business cards, letterhead, envelopes, but a lot of companies have gone beyond that now and they use an email newsletter that could be considered part of your collateral. The client I mentioned, we're creating a qualifications package, which is a long format PDF that they send to prospective clients. A Skype background, or Skype, Zoom, wow, Skype, email signatures, any kind of branded custom graphic that you're going to use to represent your business in a evergreen sort of marketing way.
First impressions and how people perceive you, and consistency, making sure that your collateral is consistent across all the ways that you present yourself to the world, right?
Absolutely.
We've also got digital campaigns and consultation. So everything through from web design through to marketing plans. You must have the expertise that you must be able to draw on is incredibly widespread. It sounds like you've collected quite a team of people who want to do good around you.
Yes, and we could always use more. So please do contact us if you're a generalist, specialist, any kind. We would love to chat with you. And it's surprising because I actually believe that every person wants to work for Businesses for Good. Every time we have an interview, people just share with us how relieved they are to find us. They say, oh, I've always been searching for something like this. And I just think to myself, well, aren't we all? Aren't we all wanting to serve each other in a way that feels meaningful and responsible? So if we can all work together to, you know, put more of that work in front of ourselves, I think we'll be happier together.
Absolutely agree. I don't really think there's many people that wake up in the morning and go, how can I screw everybody today? part of the reason I started this podcast was I wanted to be a tiny bit of service by spreading the word about how many amazing women there are out there. The more we collaborate, the more we illuminate, the better it is for people and the planet.
That's great.
Would you tell me, oh, hey, you're a National Ski Patrol volunteer.
Yes, I have been. Not currently, but yes.
Where do you like to ski the most?
Ooh, that's a good question. At the moment, I'm actually quite a fan of, I suppose you would call it backcountry, cross-country skiing, which essentially just means I put my thrift store skis on my feet and I ski out the door of my RV with my dog and I just pick a direction. So it's really not too complicated.
But very aspirational. I'm going for American citizenship because I want to have the dual citizenship for New Zealand, which is where I'm from. You, if we can get your motorhome down to New Zealand, you would love New Zealand. We might have to put it on a ship. We might have to get you another motorhome when you get down there. You are going to love New Zealand. But back to you. You also have dual citizenship with Czechoslovakia and America. Is that right?
Correct. Although Czechoslovakia is no longer a country. It's now two countries, the Czech Republic and Slovakia. I just like to insert a little geography there. Lesson.
I really appreciate it. Geography.
That's okay.
We've got a globe in the lounge, and I'm frequently frequently searching it to work out where things are. I knew it was geography at school. I knew it, but no,
over in the creative. That's okay.
I was in the creative writing section. I was in the drama club. So, yeah, geography, definitely not my strong suit. I've managed to get on a plane to 15 different countries. It doesn't mean I know where they are.
Great. That's a great attitude.
What inspired you to get dual citizenship?
Well, that's a great question, Erin. And it's actually one that a lot of Czechs asked me because I think they were a little bit curious themselves because I don't live over there. But it has more to do with the fact that my father is 100% Czech. He immigrated when he was in his 20s. And I grew up hearing the language, hearing the songs, reading the folk stories, experiencing the traditions at the holidays, and then going there every 3 or 4 years since I was born, and spending time over there. And so I am half Czech, half everything else. And so it wasn't a matter of, you know, should I or should I not? I am. It's actually a right that I have. So it was simply a matter of going through all the paperwork. But it maintains my connection with Eastern Europe. And I do think there's something there probably as well in my story with this creativity and nomad. And I mean, it's Bohemia, you know, gypsies. So there must be some of that in my blood.
Here's to all the gypsies, whether they are digital or in a caravan. Let's have a world full of gypsies. You spoke briefly about that. You are open to nonprofits, and though you're altruistic for profit, making profit so we can do more good. But I believe you've worked with 1% for the Planet. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So 1% for the Planet was a certifying body that was established by Von Chouinard, the founder of Patagonia, and a few others. And they are for nonprofits who are interested in donating 1% of their revenue to the organization, which then helps them select nonprofits, actually, that they can give those funds to. And typically in a somewhat related area, whether it's environmental conservation or wildlife. And so anybody can join if you are a for-profit business, and they are an extremely active and well-supported organization, and I would love to see lots and lots more join their forces.
I'm just looking up the website, 1% for the Planet, so we can mention that. While I'm doing that, you have had so many great clients. Would you tell us a bit about Wild Skills with She Jumps? Because that's a fantastic story.
Absolutely. Yep. So She Jumps was co-founded by Lindsay Dyer and another woman. Oh, gosh, her name, Claire. Forgetting her last name. And they were both quite involved in the ski world. They were professional freestyle skiers. So, you know, jumping out of helicopters onto crazy mountains and things like that and filming movies. And they decided that they wanted to do more than that. They wanted to help young girls get out doing adventure sports that are typically more male dominated. So downhill skiing, mountain biking, rock climbing, things like that. And so they started creating programs, and now they've grown lots of different branches. You can check them out at shejumps.org. We helped them recently redo their logo. And they host the Wild Skills Project in different parts of the country, which is specifically for young girls to come and learn basic survival skills for the outdoors. So things like wayfinding and the 10 essentials and first aid. And it was just awesome to see photos from the event because there were these girls drawing in the workbook that we helped design, learning, you know, how to live off the land, so to speak, and the basics of telling mom and dad where you're going to go if you're going to hike, and how to navigate and things like that.
You can find She Jumps at shejumps.org. Outdoor play that transforms, and 1% for the planet. I'm glad I double checked. It is 1% for the planet.org, but you need to spell out the one. Not that I'm sure a search engine would find it regardless. Cyclical, round and round we go. Strategy, execution, rebirth. You say that a development of a successful brand flows in a cyclical pattern. Could you tell me some more about that?
Yeah, a brand should never be done. It is a living, breathing document. You can almost think of it like a Google Doc, right? It's safe, but it's evolving. It has many collaborators. And when you've made your brand, I hate even saying it in the past tense, you should already be thinking about remaking it, because a brand, as we've all seen in the last couple of years, has to be adaptable to survive. And so things will happen that will affect your business that you will need to respond to in order to continue flourishing. And you will continue flourishing as long as you remember the lesson that you're constantly shedding your skin and growing a new one in response to your environment.
I personally am constantly shedding my skin. So much fun with it. Life is about growth and about evolution. And whether I'm working with a client on their website or their wardrobe, you know, things always change. It's never a one and done. Our wardrobes evolve as we change throughout our lives. Our vision evolves. My vision has evolved so much over the last 20 years. I still wake up some mornings and go, how the heck did I end up in America? You know, it was the result of a vision that I thought I'd be in Rarotonga. I was convinced I'd be, not, you know, here I am. I'm in Seattle looking at Lake instead.
Well, someone will have to interview you, Erin.
Well, why not? I think it's about time I started getting people to interview me on my own website. My wonderful friend Samantha actually did that for me.
Excellent.
And maybe I'll ask you to do the same. Though really, I just want to come and see your motorhome and sit and coffee.
You're welcome.
Next time you're parked anywhere near Bellevue.
Yes, I'll let you know.
You never know. Carly, this was such a joy and such a treat. Karma Design is, don't you just love that? KarmaDesign.is, empowering, impactful, and mad skills when it comes to incubating businesses. There's a connect page. Go straight to the Karma is Listening page where you can connect with Carly, who will help evolve your business to the next level. And she might even give you a ski lesson or go with you mm-hmm. on a ride or take you on a Spanish trail or take you out to chop wood. You never know.
Sounds good to me.
I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, Carly.
Thank you.
Bye.